The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
On that day, when evening had come, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd behind, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. Other boats were with him. A great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that the boat was already being swamped. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him up and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" He woke up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." Then the wind ceased, and there was a dead calm. He said to them, "Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great awe and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" The Gospel of the Lord.
Open wide your hearts. St. Paul says that this morning in our reading from the second letter to the Corinthians. And we're going to keep hearing pieces from this letter through the summer. That's the way our lectionary cycle works, the schedule of readings. And it can be a little challenging to hear just a piece of these letters from Paul. Lots of times he uses very long sentences, and we don't have the dialogue and the setting and the plot that we have in some of the Old Testament stories that we're used to. It's important to remember that these are letters. Letters from Paul to a group of people that he knew well. Back in a time when letters were precious, very difficult to deliver, and also very long. You can see this community gathering around these letters from Paul, the latest letter that's arrived, and poring over it, picking it apart. Letters connect people. They maintain relationships. They build community. Have you ever had a pen pal? I bet a lot of you have. And if you have, then you can connect with this idea of relationships being maintained and supported, maybe even started through letters. I have a friend named Francis. He and I exchange emails to each other. We're pen pals. He lives 11 time zones away from me. And even though we're so far apart, whenever I receive that letter, I get excited. I read it. I'm looking forward to what it is that he has to say. I finally got to see him after 6 years of being apart in April, and the first thing he said to me was, "I didn't even get a chance to miss you because we're always writing to each other." And I laughed because I was about to say, "I missed you," to him. But his letters to me are a source of encouragement. He gives me advice, shares prayer requests. And sometimes when I read those letters, they sound to me like epistles. St. Paul's letters continue his relationship with the community in Corinth that he helped to start. And his letters paint a picture of what's going on there, that it's a challenged community. There are fractions, there are disagreements, there's gossiping going on and harmful behavior. And Paul is really frustrated with them. But you can also tell that he really loves them anyway. In this particular passage today, Paul paints a picture of what his life following Jesus is like. And it's pretty terrifying. All of the things that he lists, that he's been through, all of the suffering and the persecution. I think he's trying to paint a contrast to the life that they're living, trying to get them to see the error of their ways and change their hearts. But in the end, he doesn't ask them to undergo the same suffering that he's undergone, to follow that particular path that he has taken, even though he does hint at the grace and the joy that exists on such a path. But all that he asks of them, really, is that they open their hearts. Open wide your hearts, he says. Jesus, on that stormy sea, is also surprised by how closed the hearts of his disciples are. "Why are you afraid?" he says to them. "Have you still no faith?" Their hearts are closed, not only by the fear that they're experiencing in that exact moment, but it seems like there's a larger fear that's closing their hearts to faith. Doubt is not the opposite of faith. Doubt and faith live side by side together in a believer's heart. The opposite of faith is fear. Fear closes the heart. It does its best to quench the flame within, that flame of faith. In the face of the storm on that sea, the disciples allow fear to fill them, and that fear deceives them so that they think that Jesus doesn't even care about what's happening to them. Storms come up in our own lives too. Many of us are probably experiencing some sort of storm in our life right now. In our own hearts, or in our homes, or in our workplaces, uncertainty, chaos, or pain. And sometimes that fear can overwhelm us. It can become so present and at the front of our minds and our hearts that we feel distant from God. We may even shout out like the disciples, "Jesus, don't you even care that we're perishing?" These storms in our own lives can be not just in our own hearts and in our circles of connection, but in a wider community, even in our nation. We can feel anxiety as it moves, as it grows, as it encourages division or hatred or fear. Has God forgotten us? We begin to wonder. Has God forsaken us? Has God turned God's back on us, on our nation? Does Jesus even care? We know that Jesus does care. We hear his voice in the gospel reading today, speaking strongly into the storm, saying, "Peace, be still." And the storm obeys him. Jesus speaks the peace which passes understanding into existence in the face of the storm and in our own hearts. It is the peace that passes understanding because it doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense to have peace, profound peace, in the presence of such uncertainty, in the middle of a great big storm. And yet, that's what it is. Alive and real and strong, right there in our own hearts. Open wide your heart, St. Paul says to us. Open wide your heart and let the peace of Jesus in, because that peace makes all the difference. The storms of our hearts, of our own lives, they can overcome us. And yet when we focus on that peace, more than just peace comes to us. That peace shows up as endurance, as wisdom, as courage, maybe even the courage to reach out for help, the courage to speak what's going on in our lives to another. In the face of the storms of our wider society, the peace of Jesus in our hearts can be a source of compassion. It can help us to discern individually and as a community what it might be that Jesus is calling us to do on behalf of the oppressed, the abused, the hurting. If we plant ourselves in that peace, that calm of Jesus, we can see more clearly. We can see that what's important in all of this is that peace. Open wide your hearts to that peace. Fear closes us down. Fear stops the peace from entering our hearts. Fear fuels the storm. Fear fuels the divisions, the hatred. Fear allows us as a society to blame whole groups of people and to take the dangerous road, the dangerous steps towards treating groups of people as though they were less than human. Every human is a beloved child of God. Regardless of their gender, regardless of their ability or where they were born, regardless of who it is they voted for, regardless of their immigration status, every human being is a beloved child of God, endowed with dignity. In baptism, and each time we remember and restate our baptismal vows, we open our hearts to Jesus. And we promise to respect the dignity of every person, to fight for justice and peace, and to seek Christ in each other. This is the core of what we believe it means to be a Christian. Friends, we have work to do. We always have work to do. And the first thing is to open our hearts. The fear of this chaos that surrounds us is so tempting. It's tempting to seal our hearts off, to bury our heads in the sand. But we have to resist that temptation. Instead, to open our hearts, trusting that Jesus will indeed come when we invite him. He will create in our hearts a peace, the peace which passes understanding, and we can plant ourselves in that. And when we're planted in that crazy peace, we can see clearer. And more than the peace itself, we will receive everything that we need from Jesus to follow his call, to face the storm. Paul faced a lot in his life and ministry. The list that he gives in the letter this morning is pretty scary. And yet Paul was so full of faith because every time he faced those fears, every time he faced those difficult circumstances, Jesus was there, giving him peace and giving him everything that he needed. And the amazing thing is that he found not only what he needed, but he found joy on that crazy path. We often think of persecution of Christians happening long ago, happening just in Paul's time. But it's still happening today. My pen pal, Francis, who I mentioned, when he was younger, he was imprisoned and persecuted for his faith. And even today, he faces many, many hardships. He's been a bishop for more than 30 years, And for most of that time, his country has been at war. I asked him one time if he could explain to me, because I just couldn't understand, how it is that he and other people that he knew were able to endure, were able to face such persecution and hold on to their faith. He named three things. They sound a lot like Paul. He said the first was a powerful feeling. The feeling that you get when God gives you what you need in that moment, gives you the words that you need to speak, gives you whatever it is that you need. He said that feeling was so powerful, it was more powerful than any pain. Nothing, he said, could compare in that moment to the glory of God. The second thing he said that gave him strength was humility. And the last was love. Love as the source of healing and joy, even in the midst of persecution. I want to leave you with a quote from a letter that he sent me, so you get a chance to hear his voice. I have sacrificed for Christ, but not very much. And Christ was in control, and the grace of God was upon me in joy and in suffering. Robin, always preach and bring out the message of Christ as it is, without pleasing people or your Christians, the message of repentance and healing and forgiveness for what we all have done. Brothers and sisters, may the grace of God be upon us. May we receive everything that we need to face the storms of our lives and the world with quiet confidence, with peace, and with tenacity. Amen.